Well, I'm just wondering if perhaps are there any Oral Roberts University graduates among us this morning? Would there happen to be any Oral Roberts University fans? Come on, where are they? Where's Kathy? Is she in the back? Are you kidding me? This was her moment of glory. If you are following March Madness, oh, how the mighty have fallen, right? Wow, so sorry for you Buckeye fans. I mean, I'm a Buckeye fan too. But how many of you seen the movie Hoosiers? That was a fun one from way back. And I remembered a line, and Joan and I were eating breakfast, and I Googled it and found it and played. They're in the locker room, and it's right before the big game. And this little school of just these farm kids from out in, out in the middle of the sticks in Indiana, they're playing the big guys from, I don't know, Indianapolis or something, and they're in the state championship game, and the coach says, "I guess the time for big speeches is over, but does anyone have anything to say?" And one of the players said, "Let's win this one for all the little schools that never had a chance to get here." So, wow, I'm sorry for the Buckeyes. They did their best, but Oral Roberts University came through, and congratulations to the Spurlocks. And also, David, our own David Spurlock, is there as we speak. So, good for David. Also, Abilene Christian, which a good friend of Joan and mine from high school, she went to Abilene Christian. They beat Texas yesterday, another big upset. You think this doesn't relate to my message? Just wait and see. It's gonna be relate. So, as what's the ESPN announcer that would say, "Awesome baby, awesome baby"? I like imitating him. Dick Vitale, awesome baby. We have some awesome baby things to get excited about beyond March Madness. Hey, March Madness is great. It's fun. It's entertaining. There's nothing wrong with it, inherently. But don't we have an awesome God? There are some things that are going on that are real super exciting and that we ought to be pumped about. If you don't get pumped for March Madness, you're excused. But if you don't get pumped for kingdom things that were happening, that are happening, then we need to check your pulse then. So anyway, with that, we have a couple of videos that we want to roll right now.
Jesus' greatest promise, "I am with you," is spoken in the same breath of his last command, "Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all I have commanded. And see, behold, I am with you." What if this is not a promise but an invitation to go, to meet Jesus in the harvest? What if everything we need we already have? A brother or sister going with us, going empty-handed, bringing nothing except the presence of God who answers prayer, who serves needs, who brings peace. What if we had open eyes to see where God is already working? To join in that work with the gospel. What if, in vulnerability, God shows truth, in weakness, his power, in simplicity, sincerity? What if brothers and sisters from all walks could experience God reaching our cities together with him? What if it's the beginning of something bigger? What if the lostness of our cities, that's where Jesus meets us, where he assures us he is with us?
It's something I've been praying about, to personally be able to lead somebody to Jesus.
God opened up hearts.
Now, he agreed that it seemed like the Lord was really opening the opportunity for him to come to Christ.
He prayed to accept Christ as our Savior.
So we were so excited. Yeah, that's right. Jesus sent us to you. He was ministering to your heart, drawing you.
She poured her heart out to God today on her front porch step.
Just kept saying, like, "I'm lost." Like, he's got young kids just like I do, so I really feel for him. We got to pray for him.
Every single one of those family members repented and prayed to receive salvation.
And then she was open to talking about the gospel. It seems like God's working in her life, that calling her back to him a little bit, because she talked about wanting to get back into the book.
"Is there anything that's stopping you?" And he, like, literally looks at us and says, "Well, how do I do that, like, now?"
I was able to share again with three people in the house.
And he's like, "I'm going to share this with my wife when she gets home."
And he wanted to tell other people. He wanted to tell his neighbors, and he wanted to tell his family.
And God, he worked in our own hearts as well to break our hearts for this community.
Yes.
And to lead us to pray more and more.
Hey guys, on March 27th, a big gang of people from all over are coming into our city to help us to reach Findlay, Ohio with the gospel. If you've never been a part of engaging neighborhoods and looking for open doors for gospel conversations to make disciples, this is a great opportunity to jump in. We'll give you some training and we'll pair you with someone who has some experience, and let's look for God-prepared people that the Holy Spirit is already preparing in our neighborhoods to help them and invite them to take the next step in seeking and finding and following Jesus and making disciples. So I really hope to see you there. It's going to be awesome. God the Holy Spirit's already working. So let's reach our cities in the name of Jesus.
You're muted. You're muted, Jack.
Christ Findlay is not exactly next door, but you know, Jesus said, take the gospel to Jerusalem, to Judea, Samaria, the surrounding region, and even to the uttermost parts of the earth. Well, we're involved in reaching people right here in our Jerusalem. We're involved in supporting missionaries and when we can, going on short-term mission trips. But what about the kind of intermediate opportunity? So this, I look at this as an opportunity. Someone has organized an outreach, and so if you would be willing to kind of get out on the thin ice and trust God, well, actually, the ice isn't really that thin. It's really very solid, and it will support you. God will be there for you. Some of us are going to Findlay next Saturday for a few hours. Let me just ask you this question. When is the last time, or have you ever looked eyeball to eyeball with a sinner, a human being made in the image of God, and said, friend, God loves you. Christ died on the cross for you so you could know him. Boy, I don't know about you. I don't want to get to the end of my life and I've already done it, but I don't want to miss opportunities that the Lord opens up for me. So if you've never done that, I'd encourage you. Janet's going to share a quick story about someone who was apprehensive recently but decided to go for it and something could happen. Janet?
Okay, so what Jack's talking about is actually a movement that's spreading over northern Ohio, and that Findlay is one of the most recent one of that spread, Canton, across northern Ohio. And we invited Dan and Pam George and several others, and they went with us up to Canton, a training for this outreach in Canton. And this is what Dan wrote about it. Pam and I had, they are at the bedside of her father, who is on his way to heaven any day now. So that's why they couldn't be present. Pam and I had an opportunity to join Paul and Janet at No Place Left Training in Canton, Ohio. The training is designed to help train people in starting the gospel conversations, especially with strangers. Often people confess that they don't feel comfortable starting conversations with lost individuals about their need for a savior. This training teaches a format designed to overcome that, with a learned method of breaking the ice and then presenting the gospel story. The training goes further in giving guidance to bring new believers into small group discipleship settings designed to equip the saints to work alongside the Holy Spirit and the multiplication of believers and the growth of the church. An opportunity is provided following the training to immediately put boots to the ground in the practical application of the method taught by meeting people in the local the practical application of the method taught by meeting people in the local community. Pam and I were able to have a fruitful experience in a neighborhood close to the training event. We met and prayed with a number of individuals that were appreciative and blessed with tears in their eyes and verbal gratitude for the unseen Holy Spirit moving in our midst. So then Pam writes, I'm not good at cold call conversations and have always tried to avoid it, including our opportunity to explore a neighborhood we were given to walk, pray, and converse with people the Lord provided. But I went with Dan, which made it easier. I figured he would do most of the talking. One of our contacts was a group of young adults out on their porch. After approaching them and asking if they had anything we could pray, the young man shared his struggle with alcohol. It gave me the perfect opportunity not only to share about Christ, but about the refuge. You may be familiar with Pam's volunteer work with the Refuge, which is an addiction recovery program in Columbus. It seemed like a divine appointment for me, and I felt prompted to speak. So, can I just share one more thing?
Sure.
In these trainings, Paul and I have been involved in 3 years, we always start with something called the brutal facts, and that is the population of the city that we're trying to reach and the number of unchurched and unbelievers. And it's very jarring to see that number rising of the unchurched, the unreached. And I just read an article a couple days ago about the rising rate of advanced liver disease in women in the age of 30 to 40. These are young women who have advanced liver disease from alcoholism just over this last year. And the article was quoting a doctor who said the numbers they're off the charts. That is so disturbing. So let that sink in and consider, pray about coming with us. It's a really good time.
So if you have an interest, the information is in the announcements as far as contacting Paul. He'll send you a registration link and you can get signed up and come along with us. By the way, I pulled up a chair because I said to Joan, I just feel led to speak from a sitting position this Sunday. Because it just helps, if for no other reason, it helps me to feel more relaxed. Because what I'm going to talk about this morning is a topic that probably your tendency is going to be, I've heard about this already. I'm familiar with this. But one other thing I want to say before I get into it. See, I got ahead of myself, going too fast. So slow down, Jack, slow down. What's that?
You're good.
I'm good. Use the arrow keys. All right. Yes, I can do that. Before I get into the message, speaking of reaching people, you'll notice that there are several people wearing these community prayer team shirts this morning, and that is to be a promotion for the fact that we are resuming our pull-through prayer ministry to take place during the month of May. We're going to do it this year in the months of May and September. So May the 3rd is a Monday. And talk about awesome baby. There are some awesome things happening. And you already know part of it. You perhaps recall that last September, on a day when Paul Marshall and Paul Maxim and Janet Maxim were working the pull-through prayer ministry, a young man pulled in. And he had very, very recently, within just a few weeks, had put his faith in Christ. And he was from a Muslim background. And he lives in Hilliard, but he dropped his sister off at Amazon and was driving by. And what are these people doing, waving? He pulled in. He was just beside himself, excited to meet some other Christians. But again, brand spanking new baby believer in Christ. So we got to know him and shared with him about the importance of being baptized. And you may recall back when we were meeting out in the pavilion, I told a little bit of his story, but said to you all, unfortunately, we won't be able to invite you to the baptism out of concern that the several Muslim background believers who are going to be there just have a concern that if a picture or video would get taken and put on Facebook, it could be difficult for Muslim background believers back in their home countries. So anyway, fast forward now to just a few weeks ago, and lo and behold, this young man's younger brother accepted Christ. When he was visiting from North Africa, was visiting his brother, and on his 25th birthday, he accepted Christ. And so these three Muslim background believer guys came over for dinner a couple of Friday nights ago. We had a great time. And the one who's newly come into the kingdom is planning to get baptized here in the next week or so. His older brother lives in Hilliard and works there, but he's going back to North Africa in just a few weeks after he gets baptized. Between me and you, he said to me Friday night, he said, now when I get back to blank, I'm not going to tell you the name of the country, he said, I'm not going to tell anyone that I'm a Christian. And I thought to myself, yes, you will. Just, you know. I didn't pressure him. He's young. I'm just letting the Holy Spirit grow him, and the Holy Spirit will and is. So anyway, you know, just I don't know what that does for you. Little New Song Community Church, and I love our church, but we're not the biggest thing going in Columbus, if you've noticed. But we're having an impact for the kingdom. And now, because of our labor and our prayers, someone has come to personal faith in Christ and is going back to a Muslim country with the gospel, with the light of Christ. How awesome, baby! Take that, Dick Vitale. That is awesome. That's really awesome. So I hope you will avail yourself of the opportunity. We really need to have more people involved than have been in the past, because it's like a lot of things, the same old people are doing it, and we really need some other people to get involved. I know that Gordon is one of my team leaders, but his vacation is coming the first 2 weeks of May. So again, we need some other people to kind of step up and step in. If you feel like, well, I'm not ready to go to Findlay, I'm not ready to actually talk with people face to face. Now, maybe you would be willing to trust God with that, but if you're like, I'm not sure I'm there yet, but you could at least be outside and stand on the highway. Can you smile and wave? Can you do that? Can you love sinners? That's what it boils down to. As you know, we've had people pull in, and well, now they're not getting out of their car because of COVID. We have people stay in their car, but we've had people pull in, get out of their car, tears streaming down their face. My daughter's a drug addict. My wife just left me. My life's falling apart. Wow, what an opportunity we have. And God has placed us here. I wasn't here when, some of you were, when this property was purchased. Some of you gave your precious dollars and worked so hard. And now we have this property sitting right smack here. And God knew. God knew that in 2021, they'd be building these warehouses all over Etna Township. And the traffic has really exceeded. There are now about 2,000 cars a day that just between the hours of 4 and 6 that go back and forth are in front of our building. So what an opportunity this is. So we hope that you'll prayerfully consider taking part in a pull-through prayer. So let me know. Oh, if you want to be able to wear one of these, you don't have to wear one of these cool shirts while you're ministering. But if you would like to, I'll tell you, they're $27, and the church is willing to help defray the cost for you. So your cost would only be $17, all right? So we're picking up the $10 because we want to encourage people to get involved. All right, now back to the action of today's message. One other thing before we get to that. I have been so blessed over the last months, really actually more like a year or two, as I have meditated on the very last verse of the book of 2 Corinthians. And if you're familiar with the New Testament, you know that the Apostle Paul, sometimes the Apostle Peter, at the very end or toward the end of their writings, will write what could rightly be called a benediction. A benediction comes from the Latin word bene, which means well. You heard Italians people say, bene, bene, molto bene. Very, very good. Bene means well. Dicte, to speak, dictation. I speak and someone writes it down. They're taking dictation. So it's just a well speaking. It's speaking something well, speaking a blessing over people. And we know the Word of God has such great power. And so beginning today for I don't know how long, I'd like to just try it for a while. I think it'll be a blessing to you. We're going to dismiss you with a benediction, which this Sunday it will actually be a scripture. It'll either be a scripture or be rooted in the scripture. So after the final prayer, I'll have everyone rise and I'll speak something good over you from the Word of God. So it's this verse, just so you can know what's coming. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of, some Bibles say, communion with, fellowship with the Holy Spirit. One Bible says the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit. Have you been experiencing that lately? Maybe you'd say, well, I haven't really capitalized on that like I probably could. Yeah, maybe you haven't. Okay, may that become more familiar, more routine to you, that you are more in the habit of experiencing fellowship with God the Holy Spirit. What an awesome thing. So I'm going to be speaking that over you at the very end. Okay, as you may know, we this year have chosen as our theme Community of Truth. And because of COVID, there has been a rise of all kind of terrible things. Not only is the disease terrible, and we understand that many people have succumbed to the disease and suffered because of it, but people have also suffered in many other ways because of the lockdowns. Emotional issues, suicides, alcohol purchases are through the roof, just a mountain of issues that people are having. And so we want to strive this year to help all of us to be healthy in our souls. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And God, when we come to faith in Christ, God heals us spiritually, instantaneously. But then the rest of our Christian life is that healing gets worked out in an actual healing of the things that plague us in this life. I'm not talking about bodily as much as things that plague our soul, things that torture us mentally, things that plague us in our emotions, wounds that we have that need a practical healing. So we're going to be talking about that this morning. And our theme verse for the year is actually part of a sentence, which we realize this is a bit awkward, but nonetheless, it's important. Paul said, so that no advantage would be taken us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. The devil is always seeking an advantage over us. Now, make no mistake about it, he hates your guts. And he hates your family and everybody you love. He would love for nothing more than to absolutely destroy you. Maybe not necessarily physically, but to wipe you out spiritually, to wipe you out in terms of the health of your soul. He's gunning for you. He's coming for you. Now, we don't want to have a wrong overemphasis on Satan that we forget about who we are in Christ and what we have in him. Of course we do. But we would be foolish to be oblivious to what God wants us to be aware of. And that is that the devil is seeking, he seeks to destroy, but first he's seeking an advantage. I don't know how many of you are chess players. Anyone like to play chess? I'm not that great of a chess player, but I know how to play and I like to play. And I don't mind telling you, I like winning. Is that wrong for me to say that? Hopefully I'm a gracious loser, and losing is a good thing. Isn't it, Buckeye fans? Yeah. It's good for our soul to be humbled once in a while. And so here's my strategy when I'm playing chess. Let's say I'm playing you in chess, and hopefully you have some familiarity with the pieces. The little ones in the front rows, those are the pawns. Then the ones in the back row are the more powerful pieces. They can move across the board in different ways. I'm not going to explain how they all move. But let's say I'm playing you in chess, and I look over and I see you have three of my pawns, but I have three of your pawns. Ah, we're pretty even. And you have one of my bishops, and I have one of your bishops. Ah, we're pretty even. But now, ooh, I see a move I can make. I'll give up another one of my pawns, but I can get your rook. That's the one that looks like a castle. But I can take your, boy, I'll do that. And so I capture your rook. Now, you know what? I have an advantage. I've gained it. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to press that advantage. And so now if I have an opportunity to move my queen, I'll lose my queen, but in the process of that move, I'll kill your queen. Hey, I'll do that. I'll kill a queen for a queen. Why? Because I still have the upper hand on you. I am going to keep pressing my advantage to eventually bring you down. Wow, that sounds intense, doesn't it? None of you are going to want to play me in chess. Well, actually, I'm not that good of a player. You'll be fine. Don't worry. It's the same thing in sports. I like baseball. And if I'm managing a baseball team and we're playing a team that we're unfamiliar with, when one of my players gets a walk or a single, he gets on to first base, I'm going to send him run to second. Why? Because I'm going to make that catcher throw the ball down to second to try to get our guy out. He has to show me that his arm is good enough to get our runner out. Until then, I'm going to send our players all day. We're going to run on him. Why? Because I want to exploit an advantage. And that's what the devil wants to do in your life. So if he gets the upper hand in this area that I'm going to introduce in a minute, He might not devour you. He might not wipe you out right away. You know what? That's okay. That's perfectly fine with him. If he can just get the upper hand, over time, his plan, his intention, he'll bring you down. And Paul said, we are not ignorant of his schemes. Think about that. The devil is scheming. Every team in the NCAA sat down before the game and plotted and planned, how are we going to win this game? I keep apologizing. I am a Buckeye fan, but I just am thrilled with the idea that Oral Roberts, the article I read afterwards, said that, oh, by the way, the game went into overtime, right? And so tied at the end of regulation. And the article said that after the teams went into their little huddles, before the overtime period started, Oral Roberts' coach said something like, we are going to win this game. Wow, I like that confidence. But he had a plan. He was convinced that they were going to win. In the same way, the devil, he is planning how to bring you down. Will you be aware? Will you be cognizant of the things that you need to be aware of to prevent that from happening? Why? Because God has so much blessing for you. So much good he wants to do in you and through you. If you are just not ignorant of his scheme. So today I'm going to talk about your need for what? Your need for something. You know, we're conditioned in our society with our kind of advertising culture that when someone comes along and says, you need something, they're getting ready to sell you, right, what they say you need. So in some ways, maybe we condition ourselves to go, well, I hear someone say I need something right away, I kind of back up and go, oh, maybe I really don't. Convince me that I need it, because I'm not so sure I do. So my intention this morning is to convince you that you need fellowship. You need fellowship. I gave a message some years ago, and I put up a graphic, and I said, fellowship is more than just two. You don't remember. More than just two fellows in a ship, yeah. Think of two guys that go fishing. I sometimes take my wife fishing with me. And sometimes when we get out on the boat, she wants to talk. Two reasons why I sometimes don't take Joan fishing. Number one, she catches more fish than I do. At least the last time she did. And number two, no, I'm just halfway kidding. She kind of wants to talk. She's usually pretty good. But guys, you know, we go fishing together and we get home and the wife say, well, what'd you talk about? And the guys go, what? We didn't talk about anything. We fished. Women can't relate to that. But anyway, we think that fellowship is that if I just go stand next to this person, hey, I'm in the building. Hey, I'm drinking coffee and talking about the Buckeye game. We're talking about the weather. We're chit-chatting about this and that. Oh, the grandkids are getting big, da-da-da-da. And that's fellowship, isn't it? So we have a fellowship hall, and or some churches do. And so we throw this word fellowship around, and we fail to appreciate the New Testament description of what fellowship really is. 1 Peter 2:24 says, He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. You see, every one of us, we all know that God made us social creatures and people who need relationship. But at the very same time, I think we're aware that there are challenges in relationships, are there not? I sometimes say and do things that sabotage the relationships that God has given me with my wife or my kids or my neighbors. I think, why did I say that? Or why did I do that? Or why didn't I say this? Why didn't I do that? And so I realize that I have weaknesses in my life. And those weaknesses many times are owing to things that are deep in my life that are yet to be healed by Christ. Now, wait a minute, you say. Doesn't it say by his wounds you were healed? And yeah, a few minutes ago I mentioned the fact that in Christ we receive an instantaneous spiritual healing. And yet it over time that healing works itself out as the Spirit of God works in us to make that spiritual healing known and experienced and visible in our souls, in our mind, will, and emotions. So he bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin with a view to, so that hopefully we will. Now, we've already received forgiveness of sins, but has that forgiveness of sin worked itself out in your life so that you are living now free from those things that hurt you in the past? Actually, the word sin there is literally the word sin. It's really literally sins. It's not just dying to the power of sin, but dying to specific sins. I'm sure you can recall. I know I can recall different ways that different people in the past hurt me. Things they said, things they did, they failed to say, things they did, things they failed to do, or things that are wounds in my life owing to my own sins, let alone the way someone else sinned against me. So we are created as social creatures. We need other people, and yet our fellowship gets inhibited because of the wounds in our lives. We say, Jack, how do you know that Peter is, and the Holy Spirit through Peter, is talking about the health of our soul? Isn't this just about a spiritual healing? The next verse and the last verse of the chapter is, For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you've returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. You see, if you're a believer, Christ has already saved you. But he really cares about your mental health, your emotional health. He wants that salvation to work itself out in a way that you no longer hurt people. You've heard it said, hurt people? I heard that first from Rick Warren. I don't know if he originated it. But some other quotes that have been helpful to me, and I look at my time, I might not get through all my notes today, but that's why I'm sitting on a chair, to slow me down. The goal isn't to get through all my slides. The goal is that each of you hear from the Holy Spirit what he is saying to you today. And there's great liberty for me to, and I am planning to continue this here in several weeks. We're going to take 2 weeks. Ashley's going to do a two-week series starting next Sunday, Palm Sunday and Easter. But then after that, I'm going to pick up with the same theme, so there's no rush. As I was thinking about this, by the way, and I was thinking, Lord, there's so much to say about this. How am I going to get it all in? And the Lord reminded me, I hope this doesn't sound condescending, but as you may know, you've probably heard me make reference to how my pastoring, I relate it to my raising my kids. Maybe that makes it sound like, you know, I'm the dad and you all are just like these immature little kids. Well, you know, the Apostle John in 1 John speaks of fathers. I think he meant spiritual fathers. And young men, I think he meant spiritually younger people. So Scripture does make this kind of reference to the elders being like dads, being like father figures. And so as I recall raising my children, when we would sit down at the dinner table, and those are really the best times, aren't they, for speaking truth and interacting with kids in ways that really will, that they'll retain what you're saying, because you have their attention, because they're hungry and they're eating the good food that mom made, and they're relaxed. There's this relaxed atmosphere around the table, and wow, what an opportunity to speak truth. And so I don't have to get it all in one meal. Okay, now we're going to have the teaching on fellowship. Here it all is, a data dump, you know. No. We're going to take time over the next number of weeks, and I want to help you buy in. I'm not going to automatically assume that you're going to agree with everything that I posit today, but hopefully by the end of my series, you'll be convinced. Henry Nouwen said, "Only in the context of grace can we face our sin. Only in the place of healing do we dare show our wounds." You see, by the way, let me just a little qualifier here. Henry Nouwen wrote some wonderful things. I don't necessarily agree with everything he ever wrote or said, okay, just for the record. But this I do agree with. Only in the place of healing do we dare show our wounds. See, Christians are in the best place to experience the healing of the wounds of their soul. Why? Because they're already confident. Hey, God has forgiven me. I'm right with God. I'm free. I can go ahead. I can be open with other people. They might reject me, but you know what? Even if they do, I know God has forgiven me. I'm right with God. I've been justified by faith in Christ. He has accepted me. Wow, that is so liberating. In that context, you and I are in a great place to show our wounds. You might say, well, why should I show my wound? That sounds like a threatening thing. That sounds kind of scary. I'm not sure I want to do that. But we'll get into that, the why and wherefore of that. James Hollis said this, wounds that are not transformed are transmitted. Wow. See, if you don't allow the Holy Spirit to transform the woundedness that's down inside you, you're just going to end up passing it on to someone. Want to reference a story from Genesis 4. And as we know, the fall took place in the garden, right? Eve went for the serpent's temptation, and she took the fruit and she gave it to Adam, and he ate. And Adam and Eve fell, and they were driven from the garden. And then things went from bad to worse. Then Cain killed Abel. Wow, how heartbreaking is that? And God is speaking to Cain and says, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. Now you're cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you cultivate the ground, it'll no longer yield its strength to you. You'll be a vagrant and a wanderer on the earth. Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is too great to bear. Behold, you've driven me in this day from the face of the ground, and from your face I will be hidden, and I will be a vagrant and wander on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me." So the Lord said to him, "Therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance will be taken on him sevenfold." And the Lord appointed a sign for Cain so that no one finding him would slay him. We don't know what kind of a sign. Some Bibles say God put a mark on Cain. There was some kind of mark on his physical body to where a person would look at him and go, "What's your deal? What's that mark about?" "Well, God put that on me." "Well, really, why?" "I killed my brother." "You killed your brother?" "Yeah, but if anyone messes with me, God has promised he's going to come back on that person sevenfold." "Oh, okay then. I'll keep walking," you know. So God had promised that he would protect Cain. Then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. So notice now how the generations continue and things continue to slide. Things go from bad to worse. Cain had relations with his wife. She conceived, gave birth to Enoch. He built a city, called the name of the city Enoch after the name of his son. Now to Enoch was born Irad. Irad became the father of Mahujael. And Mahujael became the father of Methushael. And Methushael became the father of Lamech. Lamech took to himself two wives. Oh, okay, now we had another idea coming down the pike. I think I'm going to have two wives. Oh, that's a good idea. Where'd you get that from? It just came from his wicked, sinful heart. The name of the one was Adah, the name of the other, Zillah. Adah gave birth to Jabal. He was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all those who play the lyre and pipe. As for Zillah, she also gave birth to Tubal-Cain, the forger of all implements of bronze and iron, and the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. Lamech said to his wives, "Adah and Zillah, listen to my voice. You wives of Lamech, give heed to my speech. Get a load of this, wives. Check this out. For I have killed a man for wounding me and a boy for striking me. See what I did? You mess with me, that's what's going to happen. You don't mess with me. Someone wounds me, oh yeah, you watch what will happen." He says if Cain is avenged sevenfold, then Lamech 77-fold. Well, I'm going to one-up God. I'm even more, you know, whatever than God. Wow, here's this. We don't know exactly what happened, but maybe it was an accident, maybe it was malicious. Some young man wounded Lamech, and Lamech hauled off and killed him, and then boasted about it. And yet, in our wounding, how very often do we strike back, either toward the person who did it or to others? Oh yeah, hurt me? Oh yeah, and we're just sore, and we're just in our pain, and sometimes it's malicious. I think a lot of times it's not malicious. That hurt people, hurt people. And here's the thing, folks. If you don't permit the Holy Spirit to transform your wound, it will get transmitted. There's no way I'm going to finish my slides, but that's perfectly okay. Your need for fellowship. So I only got to the title. This is the title of today's message. That was the introduction. Woo. Your need for fellowship and how Satan schemes to keep you from it. Again, by the way, we're not simply defining fellowship as the way it's normally used in our everyday sort of Christian evangelical American vernacular of kind of hanging out and shooting the breeze with my Christian friends. No, I'm talking about having relationships. And of course, there's no expectation that you would have this level of this quality of relationship with everybody in the church. But I want to encourage you to begin to consider the quality of your relationships and whether perhaps you have at least a handful of relationships in the church of people where you can really be transparent, you can really be humble, you can really be open, and allow God to use those relationships to bring about healing for you. Now that maybe sounds scary, like, oh, I'm not sure I'm ready for that. That's okay. It's really okay. Speaking from experience, speaking from very recent experience, I'm in a small group with three other guys, and I counted back. I think we've been meeting now for about 20 weeks. And only last week did we get to a point where I confessed to the group some sin in my life. And it gave rise to another guy. He shared some, and another guy shared some things. And it took us a while to get there. You think, well, you should have got there sooner. Okay, whatever. Give me time. And so I'm willing to give you time. And maybe you feel like, I don't have those kind of relationships. Okay, that's fine. Are you willing to allow God to begin to change things in your life to eventually, whether it takes weeks or months, maybe years, to bring you to a place where whatever is in your life that needs touched by the Holy Spirit, so God can get in there. Think, well, it's just going to be me and God. I'm just going to let him fix it just directly. You know, I hate to break it to you, but God doesn't work that way. God can work that way, but, you know, God has this thing about humility. Sorry, it's just one of his things. See, God is humble. You know, the scripture says he humbles himself to behold the things in heaven and on earth. He has to humble himself just to pay attention to what's going on in heaven. And then to pay attention to what's going on earth, that he has to humble himself more. Has he humbled himself? Big time. So much so that he became a man to go to the cross. He humbled himself. Look, God is all about humility. He's not asking you to do anything he hasn't done himself. You'd like to think, well, it's just me and God. I don't have to be open with anyone. It'll just be our little secret, God, me and you. No. Eventually, God's going to bring you to the place, I believe he wants this, where you will be an open book, at least for one or two or three or four other people. And in that dynamic, in that relational dynamic, as you humble yourself and pull the curtains back about the real you, what's really gone on in your life, wow, the grace of God can come flooding in, because scripture says that God gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to the humble. So in just a minute, when I have you stand for the benediction, no, don't stand yet, and I say, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what I'm thinking. I don't know what you're thinking of. That's what I'm thinking. I want the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to flood over you this week. It will if you humble yourself. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of communion with the Holy Spirit be with you all. That's what I want for you. And that's why I'm giving these messages on fellowship, the importance of fellowship in your life. So I'm going to stop right there. I'm not even going to try to go to the other slides. It just would not be what the Lord wants. So that's an introduction. I'm looking forward to next week's two-week series that Ashley's going to lead. Then we'll circle back around and begin to talk more about the importance of fellowship. Let's pray. Thanks, Lord, for your good spirit. I want to thank you, Lord, for slowing me down. I thank you that as I prepared this week, Lord, that your spirit prompted me to just dial it back and really walk with you in this. And Lord, I want to thank you for making us a family here at New Song, that we can just not be rushed, but just cut each other slack and give each other the time we need to walk along and grow along with you. Thank you for what you're doing in our midst. We trust you to continue it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe Paul Marshall has some important announcements for us.
Good morning, everyone. I do have a few announcements this morning for us. I'm going to just share briefly. Some of the announcements have already been made in detail, and some other announcements you'll want to look on newsongfamily.live/live for the details, because we have quite a few announcements this morning. The first and most important one is our Good Friday service will be April 2nd. That's not this Friday, but next Friday. And that's April 2nd, 7 to 8 p.m. My daughter has just run in the room. Excuse me for just a moment. Okay. Child care will be available for that service, and we will have communion. So if you will be joining via Zoom, please plan to have your own elements at home for that service. If you need to pick up elements, you can arrange a time to pick up communion elements at the building. And you want to call Jack Stockdale for that. His number is listed in the announcements on newsongfamily.live. If you do help on Sunday mornings, Leah needs your availability for the next quarter ASAP. So if you're helping on Sunday mornings, let her know if there are times, days that you cannot help. She needs that right away. There is going to be that gospel outreach in Findlay on the 27th of March. Please see the website for details. Also, Jack mentioned pull through for prayer begins on May 3rd. Again, if you need to be reminded of the details, check out the website. There's a new Sunday school series starting April 11th and extending to May 29th. That's 8 weeks. It's called Truth in the Early Church Community. There'll be a sign-up sheet next week and on Easter Sunday if you're interested. You can also email, text, or call Paul Marshall for that sign-up. That's me, I guess. Okay. Yeah, call me. Text me or email me if you like. But it's interesting to think about how the New Testament and first century church responded to matters that we deal with. I think it's very interesting to see how they dealt with issues that we're confronting. And I think we can gain a lot of insight from that. So if you're interested, please do contact me about it. Finally, New Songs Food Pantry needs to build and install a blessing box on our property to support those who are needy in our own immediate neighborhood. We need volunteers with skill and time to have this completed by May 2nd, so it's available for pull-through prayer. That'll be nice to have one of those blessing boxes available for people to come, donate food, and pick up food. So if you have skill in that area, if you're a carpenter, painter, whatever is needed, please contact Sue Neely, and her phone number is on the website. That does it for the announcements, and it is now time for prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time today once again. We thank you for the message and that you be with us through this time of quarantine and uncertainty. Lots of people out there who are lonely by themselves. We pray that you would help those who are in need of fellowship, help those who are in need of others to help and support them, that you would not only provide a way to do that, but that you would give people the strength on the inside to be willing to let other people in and to open up to them. We pray that you would continue to help people with that. We don't know how long this quarantine will last, but through all of it, we pray that you would just provide for those who are in need emotionally, spiritually, physically. and that you would go with us throughout the week and help us to be lights of your word and to share everything that you've taught us. And in Christ's name we pray, amen.
Please stand for the benediction. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You're dismissed.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. And there's food in the kitchen. If anybody needs to take some food for yourselves or those you'd like to help. Yeah. So there's food in the kitchen for people to take for your own use or to give to people in need in your neighborhood. So please help yourself there.